The Inspirational Leader: Fundamental Skills for Today's CEOs. As leaders, we have been trained to give orders, and giving orders is the exact opposite of asking. We were not prepared to ask questions. I have had the opportunity to meet and advise dozens of CEOs and business owners, and indeed, the ability to ask questions is a rare skill. In addition, leaders can find it hard to understand the short-term benefits of asking questions. And yet, it is certainly the most valuable tool that leaders have when developing and empowering their teams. But as powerful as the ability to ask questions can be, it also scares. I know very few, but really very few CEOs who work on developing their question-asking skills. Most CEOs don't know how to ask. But more than simply justifying this statement, I invite you to put it to the test with me by doing a simple exercise. Think about your last interaction with someone on your team, whatever the position. You have it? Take your time. Try to recreate the scenario in your mind. They are in your office or in a room that has now become your office given the pandemic, and one of your collaborators contacts you with a concern, problem, or situation. Once the presentation ends, what was your behavior that immediately followed? Was it 1, instructions on how to solve the issue? Or 2, did you activate the maieutic process and began generating open-ended and exploratory questions to help the other person find the answers for themselves? I will be willing to bet, if you're not fooling yourself, they weren't questions. But let's assume you think they were questions. Were they really questions? Or maybe there were recommendations in the form of questions. Maybe you have heard about maieutics, or perhaps you haven't. A little review would not be bad at all. The term is a tribute to the great Greek philosopher Socrates. The modern Socrates. Although Socrates never wrote anything, some of the young people who follow him everywhere after his death collected in various writings the stories and conversations of the teacher. And from these writings, it has been possible to understand what type of questions Socrates used when using maieutics. First, he asked open-ended questions. That is, he was not looking for a yes or a no, nor did he ask by conditioning the answer. Actually, quite the opposite of what my mother used to do with me when I was little. Pablito, do you think you can go and play without having tidied up your room? Or Pablito, do you think you can start eating without having washed your hands? Second, Socrates' questions were clear, short, and specific. And of course, they adapted to the person's understanding and characteristics with whom he spoke: age, sex, profession, status, etc. There have been many who saw the power of maieutics as a tool to argue and refute. So much so, the Socrates method is currently studied by politicians and lawyers in schools worldwide, although its objective is not usually the search for the truth. The questions define the task, express problems, and determine the issues to focus on. They drive forward thinking. They push the other towards the search for possible situations. A mind without questions is a mind that is not intellectually alive. Not asking questions is the equivalent to not understanding. Basic questions equal basic understanding. Questions that are not clear equate to understanding that is not clear. Powerful questions mean deep understanding. Benefits of Socratic questions. They say that we have 2 ears, but only one mouth, to be able to hear twice as much as we speak. And it's a good idea to remember the importance of asking questions, being quiet and listening. Not the same as hearing. As a CEO, developing the skill of questioning and the use of majeutic has many benefits. It allows your collaborator to take an active role in the learning and be aware of the knowledge that is within them. Since we're not used to being asked questions very often, it managed to awaken the collaborators' interest and curiosity, maintaining their attention at all times. It facilitates debate and discussion. Questions, especially challenging ones, can make even the most sleepy coworker react. Now that we have discovered the power of questions, I would like to share with you 7 questions that will undoubtedly generate new areas of discussion with your collaborators. Warning, what follows are 7 very powerful questions. To make it a good experience for you and your collaborator, I share 2 fundamental requirements. Number 1, develop active listening with intention and without distractions. Listen the same way a mother listens to the baby's cry from miles away. Okay, it's true. I exaggerate a bit. 2, be open to receive what the others have to say without judgment. See the ladder of inference. Asking questions opens and explores spaces or Pandora's box, since we cannot model the other response. And 3, ask calmly and without bulldozing the other person. Just one question at a time. You don't need no one to show you know. It's not about you. Give participants enough time to think. Each one has their own rhythm. 3 seconds is an acceptable amount of time. Some examples of powerful questions. Question now, close the computer and listen. Yeah, it's really like a trap. It says question 1 and there's no question. It's right. Simple, let the silence do its work. And the collaborator begin to spew everything they want to say. Generally, this first argument will have an emotional charge. The emotional load varies according to the collaborator's profile, from more intensely emotional, profile I in the DISC methodology, to less intensely emotional, profile C in the DISC methodology. Whatever the profile, we are all human beings, and emotions move us. If you have listened for a long time, let's say 7 to 15 minutes, wait for a pause and move on to the next question. Question 2. If I understood you correctly, paraphrase what they said to you so they know you have heard them. In addition to this task, what else is in your mind? This second question is essential because it allows you to discover the real problem and delve into it. The initial argument is usually a bit superficial and could be a bit emotional. The answer to this second question should give you an indication of the real problem or situation. Additionally, this question allows the collaborator to do the work of digging for themselves. At this point, they put aside the problem that sounds nice and shows you the truth. Listen carefully again. If you're going to keep digging, just ask, "And what else?" Or you could say, "Tell me more," and the silence again. Once you have understood this issue at hand, we are able to move on to the next question. Question 3. What do you really want? By asking your collaborator what they really want, this lets you to define the end goal. The only way to start working on a strategy to move from point A, current problem, to point B, ideal situation, is to clarify, define point B. At this point, you must contain your desire to deliver an instruction solution to the collaborator. you probably already know what point B should be. But remember, that is not your problem. Although you are the CEO, remember that you seek to develop a new skill and empower your collaborators. Never, as a leader, should you assume or dictate what point B is. Your employee might want to say that as supervisor the entire life or want to become president of the corporation. One partner may want to feel physically healthy while another wants to develop six-pack abs. Question 1 and 2 reveals where the collaborator is now. Question 3 shows you where they wanted to go. Question 4. What is the real challenge in this situation that you have shared with me? As a leader, what you want to see as an answer to this question is for your partner to take responsibility for their challenges. If when the collaborator responds to you, they give you a list of excuses or blames other or external situation, I try to make them through a process of reflection. They need to understand that until they assume responsibility for the place where they are, point A, and cannot begin to walk to point B. This question also allows us to start a conversation to understand the real challenge we need to overcome. New habits, lack of knowledge on any subject, consistency. What is the real challenge that needs to be solved? Question 5. What out of all of this might you not be considering with this particular situation? By defining point A, point B, and the challenge we need to overcome, we are ready to start working towards solving the problem. But remember that we're facing an exploratory process, and as much as we want to solve the problem, given your role as the CEO, we seek to develop and empower the collaborator. However, it is essential to ask yourself, what are you not seeing in this situation? This question allows us to put the action plan under the magnifying glass to return to the process of reflection to determine if, for some reason, we have missed something important, perhaps have a blind spot in the plan we are creating. For example, in business, we often execute action plans without thinking about how the competition would react. And we think that market conditions will remain the same as when we define our plan. If you lower your prices, what if your competition follows you and reduces prices even more? Are you willing to destroy your profit margin and continue in the battle for market share? Question 5 allows you to enter that level of reflection and conversation to modify your plan and strengthen your belief in it, because you know that you studied most of the scenarios well. We must consider the multiple options before moving on to the new path to explore. Question 6. Okay, if we go down this road, what other roles we will be saying no to? The key is to speak in plural. One of the keys to success is saying no to many things in order to say yes to a few. The job of a good leader is to ensure that the collaborator is aware of this reality. Your collaborator must learn to say no, and they must learn to say it in front of you. You need them to tell you the things they decided to say no to you and commit to the yes of the chosen path. For example, an individual might have came to the conclusion that they should implement a new initiative. My job as a leader is to make them understand the commitment that this implies. At that, a priori, everything that they will put aside to achieve the goal of becoming the leader of a new project, they will not be able to embark on new challenges for a year, they will see a reduction of the social activities, etc. Question 7. If you came across a colleague and they ask you, what did you talk about with the boss? What would you say the 3 main topics and actual items that we were discussing? After your meeting which can last from 30 minutes to a couple of hours, it is essential to close by achieving two objectives. First, that the collaborator can remember the most important points, issues to focus on, actions to be implemented. And secondly, that the collaborator can confirm in their own words that you, as a leader, are adding value. The conclusion. As you can see, we're talking about another type of conversation. We're talking about high-value discussion and development for your collaborators. If you already led conversations in this way, I hope it has served to validate your skill, and perhaps you have been able to incorporate something of value. If you find this content new, complex to implement, but valuable, let's train, because you lead others. It is always important that the benefit you are bringing to your collaborators is clear. So it's key to end the meeting with that question. In our CEO groups, we could put into practice everything that you have read. If it's difficult to put into practice with your own collaborators, imagine putting into practice before 14 CEOs who do not compete with one another. It is, without doubt, a highly valuable collective intelligence experience. If you're a member of REF, you know what I mean, right? It is what we do in our cases. If you are not a member yet, but would like to experience the feeling of sharing a safe and demanding space with trusted peers, I invite you to see our testimonials. What better than to see the value that our current members get out of REF in their own words? Whenever you have meetings, if you are looking for is an answer from the other, end it with a question. Tell me, what did you take away from this article?